The rights of tens of thousands of migrants working as living caregivers in Ontario are being neglected. As the name suggests, caregivers give care to those in need of assistance. But who's caring for the rights and needs of migrants working as living caregivers? Migrante Ontario is a non-profit organization advocating for the rights and well-being of migrants working as living caregivers. The passing of Bill C-50 has made it easier for people working in Canadian migrant worker programs to work with temporary status, but harder to gain permanent residency. Working with temporary status in Canada leaves the rights of migrant workers far less protected. However, most migrants who come to Canada are led to believe that they have the chance to become Canadian citizens. Interested in getting involved with the Guelph contingent of Migrante Ontario? Connect with us at migrante.ontario@gmail.com. That's migrante.ontario@gmail.com.
I'm your host, Sheila O'Reilly, and I'd like to invite you to a dog's breakfast, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11. We'll be celebrating music from all corners of the globe, with a special focus on music inspired by elsewhere, but cooked up by our many voices here in Canada. Please join me for a dog's breakfast here on CFRU 93.3 FM on Saturday mornings from 10 to 11.
Immigrant Services Guelph, Wellington offer free settlement and adoption services for a new immigrant to Canada. We are committed to providing programs and services that ease the transition that immigrants face as they settle into their new home. Clients are assisted through confidential and culturally sensitive counseling. We offer free settlement services in the following languages: Arabic, Cantonese, Mandarin, Dari, Hungarian, English, Farsi, French, Pashto, Serbian, Spanish, Urdu, Hindi, Punjabi, and Vietnamese. You can contact Immigrant Services Guelph Wellington for more information about our free settlement services as well as all our other programs at 519-836-2222. That's 519-836-2222. Drop by and see us at 926 Paisley Road. You can also visit us on our website www.is-gw.ca. Thank you.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore, the local food show on 93.3 FM CFRU. Well, welcome back to Locavore. It's the last show before Christmas or the holidays or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you might celebrate during this time. We won't have another new show until January of the new year, 2011. And I must say that I've enjoyed the last 2 months bringing interviews with people that are involved in the local food industry to you here at CFRU, and being able to meet a lot of very interesting people and see in greater detail what they're doing to promote the production, marketing, selling, education about local food. It's been a very interesting ride. I'm going to talk a little bit about, towards the end of the program today, about what I've learned, and as we go forward, some interesting and exciting people that we're going to be talking to in the new year. Today is a very interesting show, which I can relate to. I used to be a bit of a home brewer. I used to brew beer at home. When I lived in an apartment, used to brew beer as well. So I would take beer from, I guess, beer kits from a local brew-your-own establishment, get a glass carboy, and put the beer, I guess the concentrated beer, sugar, some water up to 5 gallons, which would be about 20 liters, and then I would add yeast, and it would ferment. Sometimes it would produce decent beer, and other times it wouldn't produce decent beer, but it was a very interesting experience, and that was something that got me interested in the whole aspect of home brewing, and eventually I went on and actually brewed beer commercially at the Amsterdam Brewing Company under the direction of Joel Manning, who now works at Mill Street Brewery as a plant manager, and we're going to have Joel on later on in our shows in 2011. Well, we're talking about fermentation at home, and we have a very interesting guest today. The company that we're going to look at and profile today is called Mr. Vinegar, and it's a cottage company run by Roger and Joyce Lambert out of Hamilton, Ontario. And essentially, what they do is they produce vinegars in very small batches, and they're high-end vinegars as well too. So these are not items typically that you will find in the grocery store. It's fully fermented in its own acclimated fermenter. It uses what Roger terms 100% full static fermentation in small batches. There's no infusion of ingredients. There's no artificial ingredients, color, or sulfates. So he produces premium vinegars, and it's really interesting, the plethora of vinegars that he has. He produces a mustard as well, but essentially what you're going to hear in the interview that I did with him, and I did this interview at Fair November in Guelph back in November of this year, he started off with a malt vinegar, barley wine vinegar quite by accident, and since has gone on to produce raspberry vinegars, pomegranate blueberry vinegars, peach Chardonnay vinegars, honey vinegars, maple syrup vinegars, Merlot red wine vinegars. The most popular one he produces is the cucumber blush vinegar. He has also a very high end, it's somewhat expensive, but this, what he calls Roger's maple syrup vinegar. So in our interview today, what Mr. Lambert's going to do is describe the process of making vinegar. He accesses a lot of his raw materials locally from Ontario, and he talks about how he ages it naturally. So this is a long process. It's not a quick high-volume commercial process. This takes time, a year to a year and a half, sometimes 2 years. And there's quite a demand for the vinegars that he produces. And I've tasted them. I tasted them at the show, and we'll go over that. And I was quite impressed. And I guess the one aspect with these vinegars is that you do not need a large amount of these. You need maybe a tablespoon or two on a salad, and the flavor is so intense and so pronounced in many cases. Or it's subtle, but it's still there, that it really adds significantly to what you're eating. And I think there's probably many uses of it that I haven't thought of in other dishes. But what we're going to do now is we're going to play that interview for you. This is Walter Garrison, 93.3 CFR UFM, and I am talking with Roger Lambert, who is also known as Mr. Vinegar, and we're going to talk about his business and all the different specialty vinegars he has, and the mustards as well, too. Mr. Lambert, or should I say Mr. Vinegar, thank you very much for being on our program.
It's my pleasure, Walter.
Can you tell me a little bit about your business, the products that you have here? We're here at the University of Guelph at Fair November, and I see a number of different vinegars and mustards as well.
Yeah, my vinegar is actually an artisan production. Vinegar is a two-step process. First, you have to have a wine base with alcohol, and the wine will then go to vinegar fermentation, which is a different culture completely. It needs oxygen. And my vinegars do not contain any additives like sulfites, or they're not infused with artificial ingredients. For instance, my raspberry Merlot, the raspberries are fermented in the Merlot as a wine before it goes to vinegar fermentation. The same with the Merlot cucumber. The honey comes from Carlisle. It's local. I want to make sure it's Ontario honey. And the maple syrup comes from St. Jacob, which is almost local, but it's Ontario. And I wish to have it that way. But some of the juices, like the Merlots or the Chardonnays, I have to search around, and sometimes some of them come from British Columbia. But a lot of them are local.
And all your processing and production is done in Hamilton?
The process is done at my home in the basement, and the basement is inspected by the Health Board of Hamilton. There was a little bit of a difficulty at first because they didn't know exactly what I was doing when they discovered it was actual vinegar, and I'm pretty well cleared on that because vinegar is used as a disinfectant. So basically nothing can grow in my process that's going to be detrimental to the health.
Right, and how long does the process actually take to produce vinegar once you have the raw materials?
Once I have the raw materials, from start to finish, we're looking at about a year, year and a half.
Oh, that's quite a long time. Okay, why does it take such a long? Is it like wine production where it has to age much like wine?
Exactly. It's exactly like wine production, but it goes one step further. And I don't filter the product. I allow it to settle naturally. I believe that filtering removes some type of quality in the process. So it's got to settle out naturally to get the clarity, and it's all aged in either oak or apple wood.
Really? So all of these vinegars are actually aged in wood?
That's right, but not in a barrel. I cannot put the vinegar in the wood barrel because the barrel will take in air, and because I don't use sulfites, the culture will start to grow again. So what I do is I put the oak in the vinegar. I have large glass demijohns, and I actually put the oak inside.
Now, would the oak be in bags or something like that?
No, it's oak that I can buy from a supplier. Okay, the apple, I search around and get actual apple wood.
And oh, so they're not, I'm sorry, they're not in strips, or how do you actually put?
Apple wood is in strips.
Oh, okay.
The oak is in powder form. Okay, and I've calculated the surface area of the oak that I'm using in the apple, and it actually turns out to be, if it was in a larger barrel, more than what a barrel would offer.
Okay, so you're getting the properties of the oak or the apple wood that's infused into the vinegar?
Absolutely.
And when did you actually start this business?
In 1994. I didn't get into vinegar production until I accidentally found a batch of beer that I was making sitting in the corner for 6 months. And when I took the lid off, I literally jumped back and I was going to throw it out, but I got a smell of vinegar, and lo and behold, because it was beer, that's malt vinegar. And it took me about 4 years to stabilize the process, get it scientifically sound so that I could have a consistency, and I will be teaching this process at Mohawk College next year.
Really? So there'll be a vinegar course at Mohawk College?
That's correct.
So you started this company a couple of decades ago, and it's obviously looking very successful here. Anyway, you've got quite a number of different varieties. Who do you sell to?
I do mainly just 4 shows a year. There are 2 retailers in Toronto. Like I said, I can't supply the retailers who actually want it because of the low stock, the amount of volume that I make, and I want to keep it that way. I do have 13 international awards at this time for this.
Do you see, though, that maybe some high-end restaurants, would, especially those that are utilizing a lot of local food products in their menu design, would you not think that they would be interested in your product?
They're always interested. They're always calling me. I just don't have enough supply.
So you, at present, you don't supply restaurants?
Not at this time, no.
Now, this is very interesting because you've got a niche market here. It's very much a specialty market. And if you weren't here at the show, I would not have heard of you. So obviously the show is a great source of visibility for you as well. Now, do you find from these shows people start to order from you, mail order or over the internet?
Yeah, they contact me on our website, and I do have a loyal following now. Once they taste this vinegar and they realize the difference between the infused vinegar that we would normally buy, they're loyal customers. And we missed one show at Balls Falls 1 year, and there were quite a few upset people that went to the falls looking for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Could we actually go in and could you talk about some of the vinegar specifically that you have here?
Sure. The high-end vinegar of maple syrup, I call it Rogers maple syrup. What I do is I buy the maple syrup at St. Jacob. Then it has to be diluted to a consistency where I can turn it to a wine, where the yeast will work. Once I have the wine, then it's introduced into vinegar fermentation. Once it's in vinegar fermentation and it's finished, small batches are allowed to dehydrate naturally, something like the Balsamico Tradizionale. And the water slowly comes off, leaving behind the original maple syrup only in vinegar form. And that's why it's a little more expensive at $40. And I only make about 50 to 60 of those a year, and they're usually sold in a couple of days.
Okay. So it's almost like specific case lots of very, very high-end wine.
Exactly, exactly. The other ones go through the same process, except there's no dehydration in those. It takes about a year and a half to 2 years to get the product that you're looking at right now.
Okay, so could you tell me, how would you actually use some, for example, the Merlot vinegar or the peach Chardonnay vinegar? How would you actually use that in a salad, for example?
Well, these vinegars are designed to go on salads, and they're all interchangeable. Like, not one individual vinegar is going to be precise with that salad. They're all going to be interchangeable. And I advocate that when they try them on a salad, they just use a small amount, like a teaspoon for a serving of two, without oil, and they're actually going to see how the vinegar works a salad rather than just mask it.
Okay, so for a neophyte like me that has never tried your product before, which one would you recommend I try first?
The one that I recommend that you try first is the Merlot-based cucumber. And the reason for that is because the cucumber is not like raspberry, where raspberry is right up front. And the cucumber Merlot, you get first Merlot, and then the cucumber comes late on the finish. So that was one you should try first. And then you go down the line to the more pronounced, like raspberry, or the maple, or the honey, actually.
Okay. Well, I was thinking we should try, just the cucumber Merlot right now. So Mr. Lambert is just giving me a little bit and a drop. I'm going to try it right now. Wow, that's got quite, that's really complex, extremely complex, because I taste the Merlot, and then I taste the cucumber.
Comes in late.
Yeah, it comes in late.
The chefs that use this in Toronto, they like this one because it's versatile and kind of like a neutrality. On the salad, the cucumber keeps bouncing in and out, and as it's doing that, it's bringing other things out of the salad you didn't know were in there.
Okay, so is that your most popular one?
The most popular one, yes.
Okay. Looking at, when we go to big box stores or the grocery stores, there are certain, there's obviously the large knit label name vinegars.
Right.
There's some, I guess, smaller, more high-end vinegars now that you do see. What is your niche specifically, and how have you carved out that niche?
Especially in the United States, the sales are increasing 25% per year. In Canada here, it's more pronounced in sales, and there are so many vinegars on the market that they don't know what to choose from. But when they come to me, I give them an explanation on how it's produced. So people who generally want artisan for, say, salads, or just to have it as a sampler, and they just love that because of that fact that there's no sulfites in it. There's no infusions like you would find at the store. I can't really say the niche. It's anybody who samples it.
Oh, they're hooked.
Yeah. Would you like to try the high-end maple syrup just to see the comparison to the...
Sure. Let's do that. So I'm going to now try the maple syrup, Rogers maple syrup vinegar.
This one you can put on ice cream.
You'll never get that in a store. That's quite astounding. Yeah, I can see that going on ice cream. And actually, the viscosity is less than maple syrup, so it's actually probably a little bit better in a way. Sometimes I find when you put maple syrup directly on ice cream, it's just so thick.
That's right.
You know, so this is a really nice texture to it as well.
That's correct. It goes well with salmon. You can shave some Parmigiano with drops on it. Anything with walnuts, blue cheese, but especially salmon.
I want to thank you very much for time that you've taken with us. If people wanted to find you on the internet, what is the website that they should go to?
mrvinegar.ca.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Lambert.
You're welcome, Walter.
Well, it's too bad that you weren't there. You know how they say you had to be there? Well, you had to be there and taste that because it was exceptional. It's very interesting to see how this ties together a lot of what we've talked about. I'm always astounded and impressed by people that produce new and innovative products. And really, what Roger Lambert is doing is reinventing, redoing the way things used to be done. You know, taking the time to produce a high quality vinegar and not accelerating the fermentation process, which does happen with fermented products. There's no doubt in industry it does happen, and you can taste the difference in quality between something that's been aged and something that hasn't been aged. And there's a number of reasons for that, and perhaps next year we're going to be going into that. From a local food perspective, he sources his honey from Carlisle, Ontario. The maple syrup comes from St. Jacobs, Ontario. If we look at a Canadian perspective, some of the juices comes from BC. He does sell to a couple of retailers in Toronto, but he doesn't have the volume to supply to high-end restaurants at this time. Now, if you go on to his website, and that's www.mrvinegar.ca. He's got a few articles there that I think are really interesting. I just want to read from one of them that talks about salads. He says, "No need to drown the salad when using our vinegars. It has been the custom of so many people to drown the salad with the imitation dressings. Good quality vinegar will enhance any salad beyond your expectation, and there is a method on how to use the vinegar efficiently. Our vinegar is a dressing in itself and can be used on any salad as is without oil. Of course, good quality oils work hand in hand with vinegar and should be considered for variations. Unlike infused vinegars, good quality vinegars such as ours will bring out the richness and qualities of a salad. That is what vinegar is supposed to do, enhance the salad. If using oil, first apply the vinegar and toss the salad, then add the oil and toss the salad again. In this way, you will allow the vinegar and oil to blend and the salad taste to burst out. And always remember that even though the recipe calls for oil, it is always an option because our vinegar is a dressing in itself." So a good bit of promo for his product. But definitely when you try something like that, that has been made by hand, small batches, you taste the difference. I can't really describe it. You just know that the flavors and quality that you normally wouldn't see in vinegars that you get at the store are there. So just to go over a few of what he produces, he's got a barley wine vinegar, which is 155 milliliters for $5. And that's typically price range goes up to $8 for some of them. And then the maple syrup vinegar, the one that takes an exceptionally long time to produce, is $40 for the same amount, won several awards. And it's fantastic. So anyway, I am really impressed with people that do this small-scale processing of high-quality product. And I really wish, you know, when we look at local food, there would be some incentive for growers, producers, processors that are doing things that are innovative, tax breaks to allow them to continue this and perhaps expand, not to the detriment of the quality of the product, but to give more people an opportunity to sample their products. Now, being that this is the last show just before the holidays, I'd like to play a little Bruce Coburn.
They wake up suddenly in the night, figures dancing in the sky. Clothed in more colors than the world can contain. And all the silences of the night weep in song, like that of a river cascading from the wild mountain to the slow human plain. And in the brown-haired town away below, three travelers reap a star harvest and then go on their way again.
Was Bruce Cockburn with the song Shepherds from his album off of True North Records called Christmas. Actually, this album is 17 years old, and it's got some amazing versions of some traditional and perhaps lesser-known holiday music. Really outstanding work with some of the best musicians in this country helping Mr. Cockburn out. I think a national treasure, really, when you think of how great a singer, songwriter, guitar player he actually is. Anyway, I'd like to talk just a little bit about what I see as some of the issues that we have to look at coming up on our show. Certainly, one of the things that's come through to me doing this show is there's not enough local food being produced either here in the Guelph area or in Canada to meet the demand in many cases. There's a lot of great producers out there, a lot of great products, but it comes down to economies of scale. And economies of scale would allow processors to be more efficient while at the same time not sacrificing their quality principles. I don't detect in any of the people that I've talked to thus far that they would sacrifice quality for quantity. And in fact, that's what drives them, is the quality of what they're doing. I also think that many people are unaware of local food producers, and I think that's one of the mandates of this show, is to make people aware of who is out there and what they're doing, the products they grow and make. I also think, though, from going to farmers markets, that local food can be expensive for many people. And sometimes people can price themselves out of the market, or there needs to be economies of scale created so that growers, processors can produce with lower costs so they can keep profitable, but also make local food and local food products more accessible to people. I would hate to see local food be the preserve of only the elites in this country. That is not the rationale for local food production. If we look at anything related to the human health improvement or the socioeconomic multiplier potential, I think we have to look at making local food and local food products accessible to everyone. Certainly, there are many local food producers that, through no fault of their own, they have limited marketing capabilities.